You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
February the 14th, 2020. Valentine's Day, guys. I'll remind you one more time. After that, you're on your own. All right, the coronavirus is exposing how deeply we depend upon China for it comes to our prescription drugs. 97% of all antibiotics we have in the U.S., 97% apparently come from China. Now, there's some figures that say it should be closer to 80% and 20% coming from India. But let's just deal with China and the coronavirus right now. They also go ahead and say that 80% of active ingredients that we use to make drugs in this country, such as penicillin, ibuprofen, aspirin, all come from China. This coronavirus could shut down that pipeline and is already raising concerns with the FDA because the FDA is supposed to be in China monitoring how these drugs are assembled if they're shipped direct from China and are testing the purity of the products if they're looking at base ingredients. And the FDA is a little concerned about sending people in and has been, in fact, pulling people out of China. We'll see where this goes. President Trump's tweet recently about Roger Stone. Now the Democrats are using that, saying, here's another perfect case of why this president should be impeached. Here we go again. We talked about this some yesterday. It's picking up steam now. It's pretty interesting. It's another sham. It's like getting on a merry-go-round. You go round and around till you get so sick you come off throwing up. And yet you want to get back on it again? Good luck with that, Nancy Pelosi. By the way, a U.S. congressman says this Green New Deal proposed by AOC and endorsed by so many on the left basically equates to nothing more than a third-grade science project. Now, if you've ever helped one of your children or grandchildren put together a science project for school, be it first, second, third, or even sixth grade, is pretty elementary for the most part. Most of us aren't going to get into high levels of science. And I got out of it because I simply let my wife take care of it. And she went back to her sister, who had raised three boys, and they basically used their science projects. But they all got good grades, so be it. But this congressman says the Green New Deal, for all they want to tell you that it would do, and it's important, he says nothing more than a third-grade science project. When the war powers is back in play, the resolution passed with eight Republicans stepping up to say we want to enforce our control through Congress over the president. And yet they don't really seem to know what the War Powers Act is and what they've actually done. We'll get into that. And also, there's a change of dress code in the Air Force. I am not going to be in favor of this. I'll tell you that right now. But if you're going to do it, then you've got to explain to me why something was done to a sailor when he decided to do something with his uniform when President Trump came to speak to his base. Dr. Lamero will join us today on the demolition of the Democrat Party. And we also have Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. President Trump preparing to go after those sanctuary cities, to go after them, break into those areas where they want to claim that the immigration officers are not going to be allowed, and basically shut down access. We're going to change that, and it's about damn time. And then, in case you're worried what you should do, if you have a loss in love, be it on this day or other days, if you lose in love or even politics, there's a snowflake that has an answer for you. this snowflake is one of those currently running to be the next president of the United States. But this snowflake tells you exactly what you need to do if you suddenly suffer a loss in love and politics, or either one. This is, again, I'll remind you, Valentine's Day. Guys, another tip, if you've never bought for your, you've got a new wife or a new girlfriend, don't buy anything that goes in the kitchen. Don't buy anything that has an electric plug-in. Not a good idea. There are guys even now walking around with a bruise across their skull from even last year giving something like a toaster. Don't do that. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I have a problem with some of the tweets. I'm happy to say that, in fact, the president has never asked me to do anything in a criminal case. However, to have public statements and tweets made about the department, about our people in the department, our men and women here, about cases pending in the department, and about judges before whom we have cases, make it impossible for me to do my job and to assure the courts and the prosecutors in the department that we're doing our work with integrity.
Those are the words of Attorney General William Barr in an exclusive interview with ABC News. And, of course, he's addressing the Justice Department's reversal on the proposed Roger Stone sentence. And the decision had been made by A.G. Barr in advance of the tweet from President Trump. He already knew what the sentence guideline was and already decided that it was excessive. 7 to 9 years for some of the charges Stone had been convicted of, when rapists might only get 4.5 years. It was basically a political battle to get Stone convicted, and we know that. We know that more so now by the forewoman of the jury, who clearly had a bias. And now there are questions, and rightly, should she be held on some charges? If she went in with a bias and lied about it as she was being selected for jury, that woman needs to be held accountable. But let's pivot back to the issue and the concern about the tweet by President Trump, and, of course, the response by Attorney General Barr. As you heard him say, the most important thing is, while he might be having a problem with the tweets, he added, I'm happy to say, in fact, the president has never asked me to do anything in a criminal case. Period. That's it. But yet the Democrats are demanding that the DOJ probe this decision to reduce the time in prison for Roger Stone. Roger Stone, 67 years old, sentenced to 7 to 9 years in prison for a variety of charges, basically centering around perjury on some things they say he misspoke or flat out lied. If he lied, he's going to be held accountable. But 7 to 9 years, that is a far, far cry from the normal punishment for perjury. Now, they tried to maybe enhance it by saying he threatened a witness. You know what that came down to, really? That at one point he made a complaint to somebody and said something like, I'll get your dog. I'll take your dog from me. Well, they want to translate that into a direct threat against a witness, intimidation. But what we have, of course, is the Democrats looking for more ground to plow, to use it as an impeachment, and wanting to come back around and say, now we've got another reason to move forward with impeachment. Senator Mitch McConnell, majority leader in the Senate, said, this is what we're dealing with now. Since they had this first run-through, they're going to do everything they can to run everything up the impeachment flagpole.
This would make impeachment more likely to be a routine matter, and this is something the Federalist Papers and the founders made clear they didn't want to happen. And the fact that they're now mentioning the word impeachment again in connection with the Attorney General only proves my point. I think the reason we got a solid vote against impeachment in the Senate was that almost all of my members, if not all of them, maybe with one exception, felt that this was not an impeachable offense. And the founders didn't want the House to constantly be doing impeachment resolutions because they had a policy difference or didn't like somebody. And I think it's pretty clear the House Democrats just don't like the president.
Absolutely. And, of course, that one member of his party, Mitch McConnell's referring to, you know who it is, Mitt Romney of Utah. He found, on one of the counts, reasons to impeach the president. Remember the charges, abuse of power, obstruction of Congress? Those do not exist in the U.S. Constitution. And as McConnell just pointed out, what they did by pushing it through like this, they have opened the door to any time and anything we want, we can make happen. And that's going to apply to other parties down the road on either side of the political fence, as regardless of who's in power. If you don't like the president, impeach him. Well, you need cause, don't you? Don't you need U.S. No. We've already seen it happen once. And now if they can try to move forward to make another impeachment push out of a tweet that they don't like, that they suggest the tweet basically directed A.G. Barr to reduce the sentence for Roger Stone, you do understand that regardless if Stone got 40 years, if he's sentenced to 40 years, the president still has the power to pardon him. So they can do what they want. Then the president can decide, no, or I'll let him serve 2 years and then he's coming out. President Trump had been asked the other day, what did you personally learn after you watched this impeachment proceeding? Please listen to his answer.
That the Democrats are crooked. They've got a lot of crooked things going. That they're vicious, that they shouldn't have brought impeachment, and that my poll numbers are 10 points higher.
My points are 10 points higher. But they are vicious, they're liars, I would add hypocrites and everything else that goes with it. And if you're going to go after the liars, maybe we need to turn the tables. I'm really ready to do so. I'll discuss that in just a moment. But let's go back to this whole issue about the president adding his tweets regarding Attorney General Barr and the prosecution, I should say, the punishment scheduled for Roger Stone. Now, the president insists he has a legal right to intervene in criminal cases, but has chosen not to do so. I am going to be joined in the next hour by Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. I'd really like to get his input on that because he is an expert in these fields of constitutional law. But the president has said, I have the legal right to do so, but I have not done so. And yet Senator McConnell was saying, Mr. President, maybe you need to listen to what Barr is saying.
The attorney general has said it's making it difficult for him to do his job. I think the president ought to listen to the attorney general, who's an outstanding law enforcement officer. He's a top person in the country. The president made a wise selection in picking Bill Barr. I think I ought to listen to him.
I would say so also. And I do agree. I am not one of those who all for Trump getting on the tweet machine all the time. I know it's a more direct path for him to many people. It gets right through, blasts right through the barriers put up by the mainstream media. And I understand that. And there's some things he does that I'm all in favor of when he puts out a tweet. Not so much some others. In this case, I'm going to agree with the Attorney General. When you put something out like this, sir, you make it appear that you are trying to run our department. That's not what he's doing, but that's the perception. And I'm always of the attitude that when you're trying to put a fire out, don't throw a can of gasoline on it. Not a good idea. And Barr, after the tweet had come out that where President Trump had criticized the Justice Department prosecutors for recommending that 9-year prison sentence, Barr said, I think it's time to stop the tweeting about Department of Justice criminal cases. I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody, whether it's Congress, a newspaper editorial board, or the president. And that's what you should want of an attorney general. And then we circle back around this whole concern about using this, the Democrats looking for another option to load up the impeachment ammunition. First time out, blanks, duds, nothing. Other than their mainstream media pals helping carry the water for them and getting the left all riled up, and they were almost sure, this time we've got him. We have got this man. We have nailed him to the wall. That failed again. But now, and they'd already indicated after the first one, we might impeach him again. They've already made it clear. They might impeach him before the next term, before the election in 2020, or once he wins, they'll do it again. I have no doubt they would do what they can. And Senator McConnell, again, back to his point about the value of the impeachment, what the intended purpose was by the framers of our Constitution, was not to simply go around and slap somebody with impeachment papers just because you didn't like them. And don't forget impeachment applies not just to the president, but any federal official, federal judges, members of Congress, which I'm going to circle back on in a moment. But again, the words of Senator McConnell about the key point that you should remember about this impeachment that they just went through and what they were actually trying to do one way or the other.
We're going to have an election this November. That was the other argument against impeachment. The American people are going to make this decision or the Senate. And I think it's important to remind your viewers that not only would the president have been removed from office, he would have been prevented from running this November. So, in effect, the Senate would have been determining who the Republican nominee for president was. Totally unacceptable.
Totally unacceptable. That if they got him impeached, that maybe he would not be able to run. And so what they've done is take away a Republican candidate for you to vote on by the impeachment. Whether or not he tried to push forward with it, and then you had to go through a debate, prolonged extension of battles. Can he continue to run? Can he hold the office? So forth and so on. They were, again, trying to mess with your vote if you voted for Donald Trump. Does that sound like some some gangster approach to dealing with Trump supporters? I'd say it does. And Congressman Kevin McCarthy, he is the House Minority Leader. And he's saying, look, if you want to get into this thing again, maybe it's time we consider looking at impeachment applied to members of Congress, and let's begin with House Intel Committee Chairman Adam Schiff of California, because if we're looking for people who lie and scheme and plot, well, here's a perfect example.
There's one person you have to add to the lying list, and that's Adam Schiff. He uses chairmanship to lie to us about that he had proof. He lied to us about not knowing who the whistleblower was. He lied to us by using that committee to actually tell us the FISA court was okay. And then he lied to us one more time when he read the transcript. That was not true. The only thing these people are guilty of that had to go to jail, they're guilty of the same thing you and I are guilty of, that we support our president. That is what the Democrats only look at. Because they don't just hate the president, they hate you, they hate me, they hate the viewers. They hate everything about us.
Everything about you. Everything. You read your Bible, they hate you. You love the Second Amendment, they hate you. You're for fair and equal justice, they hate you. And don't forget, while we're talking about Schiff lying, in 2019 of April, Adam Schiff told MSNBC, without proof, without any proof, there was ample evidence of collusion between the president and Russian agents. Flat out lie. All right, let's take a look at the Green New Deal.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out. RedFitnessLounge.com. RedFitnessLounge.com.
Southern nights. Have you ever felt a southern night? Free as a
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, we know our climate is changing, but this world has been around for a long, long time. I want to go back to the analogy I use all the time. Take a yardstick, put it down in front of you. Take a mustard seed, put it at one far right end of the yardstick. That mustard seed represents all of mankind's life on this planet. Everything before that, we weren't here. We think we know what happened. We think, but we really don't know. But now we're told that if we don't do something right now, if we don't do things immediately, we are doomed. In fact, a new study, still another study out, claiming that climate change could wipe out half of the planet's animal and plant species by 2070. Now, the UN has signed on part of that as well. They want to sell you the climate change is a dire threat. So what do we do about it? Well, this gives rise to the Ocasio-Cortez group and the Green New Deal. They were running around saying, this will solve it. Give us the money. Give us the money. That's what they're often after, is the money. Well, Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas says, well, let him explain.
I'm not insulting the guy. You know, we're not calling him names, okay? We're not doing what they do to President Trump. And more importantly, from a policy perspective, the Green New Deal is not an actual proposal. There's no actual plan in the Green New Deal. It just says everything's going to be wind and solar and we're going to get rid of airplanes and cows. That's not a plan, all right? That's not a serious proposal. That's why it's more of a third grade science project.
A third grade science project. And he was talking about in the beginning, and I did a poor job of setting it up. He's talking about how Senator Bernie Sanders is signed on with the AOC Green New Deal. And other Democrats have done the same, saying, yes, this is what we want. That's why AOC is endorsing Bernie Sanders. And all the Birkenstock-type supporters of Bernie Sanders are saying, absolutely. And when it comes to reducing emissions, the Paris Accord, everyone signed on. We have now withdrawn or in the process of doing so. But it wasn't being followed. We have countries such as India and China that continue to be among the worst world polluters. Congressman Crenshaw of Texas can tell you what we've done.
The irony of it, if you care about reducing emissions, you can't do what they're saying. What do they say all the time? They say ban fracking, ban fracking. We just reduced emissions in this country this past year by almost 3%. More than any other country in absolute terms. We've reduced more in the last couple of decades than the last 12 countries combined. That's a really big deal. But why is that? Natural gas fracking. That's why. Because natural gas is a cleaner energy.
Burns clean.
And we should export it to the rest of the world.
Yeah, and you heard somebody throw in earthquake. In other words, they like to claim every time we do fracking that we're causing earthquakes and earth tremors. Listen, oil wells have been dug for many times, and fracking's been underway for many times, many years. You can't correlate that either. But as far as the left is concerned, do not let the facts get in front of your fictional narrative. Period. Speaking about the Democrats and what they're trying to do, and yet at the same time trying to hold a party together, trying to rebuild it, trying to keep it from imploding. We're going to be joined by Dr. Gerard Lamero, and he had forecast last year the Democrat Party would cease to exist. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before we wrap up this hour, I want to tell you about a change in the Air Force dress code. My first reaction is, I think it's going to change the look of our military if we go down this road. And I'm not sure this is a good idea. At the same time, I want to tell you what the Air Force is deciding to be lenient about, whether there's a complaint against a sailor for what he did on his uniform. And then, of course, we have the whole issue of tattoos. That's an entirely different animal when it comes to getting through the military. And the tattoos have been changing as far as the regs and so forth. In fact, they just issued new rulings as of 2019 for all branches of the military when it comes to tattoos. So I don't know. I'm not saying I'm against tattoos. I have a couple. Oh, you didn't know that. Well, if you're out on the Harley with me, you might. But aside from that. So when we get into this political arena we're dealing with now, and the Democrats and all of the issues that are going on as they try to decide what is their party going to do, how are they going to make it happen? Well, they continue to have some issues. They did not come out of the Iowa chaos that well. They have not come out of New Hampshire with other than Bernie again and Buttigieg, and many say they cannot carry the party. Many don't want them to carry the party. But Dr. Lamero had forecast last year last year that the Democrat Party was about to implode. Do we have him online? We're still having, we're having some technical problems. For some reason, we can't get the calls in or out, I guess. All right. I don't know which Democrat got in here and got hold of my controls, but we're going to do something to fix them. And that's a regrettable thing. Dr. Lamero had been scheduled earlier this week, and then he had a personal illness come up, and so he could not join us at the last minute. So I regret that. But I'm not, listen, you can't throw me off. You know, I come from Texas. I have a BS degree. I use the BS part all the time. So I can stall. I can do a tap dance. I can put on a four-stage show at one time, if necessary. But I don't want to get us too far for the subject if we have a chance of getting him. And Quentin is running crazy in there. Don't pull out your hair. You end up looking like me. But while we wait to see if we get this communication issue restored, and folks, live radio, that's going to happen from time to time. We are looking ahead to the Nevada nominations coming up the 22nd of this month, 8 days away. That's going to be followed by South Carolina on the 29th of the month. Biden is expecting to get a lot of support in South Carolina. He's expecting to. Of course, he's counting on the black vote to help push him over. And as we have discussed previously, and numerous experts have pointed out, the black vote is important to the Democrat Party. What we're going to have to see is, can Biden even hold on to that? Because he's been slipping and sliding so much. Biden also has to look over his shoulder at Mike Bloomberg, the former New York City mayor, and all the money he's dumping into the campaigns at this point. He's been picking up support among African Americans. That's going to cut into Biden. And when you look at the Democrat runners that are still left in the field, there is not one person of color. That was going to be the whole big cry this time around. Diversity, that meant color, different genders. Well, we still have the genders represented. We have Biden. We have Sanders. We have Bloomberg, Buttigieg. And, of course, on the other side, we have Senator Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren. But what we're seeing happen right now with the Democrat Party is they've been striving to go so far left that they're basically chasing away the essence of their party. James Carville, who has been ranting and raving about this for some time, just got called by Sanders, a political hack. And James Carville had already called out Sanders and Warren for creating a cult and saying, "You're taking my party." And he's looking at the JFK party or the Bill Clinton type party and turning it into a cult. And I'm not going to go for it. I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to complain about it because you can't do that to my party, as he would say in his New Orleans Cajun accent. Well, they are doing so, and they're going as far as they can with it. And they will continue. But they're going to have to realize, where do we come to the cliff? And who will follow us off this cliff? The money that has been coming into the Sanders campaign, they like to point out, has come from mostly grassroots support, saying, if you take a look at all the money we've collected to show you how diverse our base is that's contributing, if we took all of our folks that are contributing, you're looking at an average of $18 from each contributor. Now, obviously, many have given much, much more. Some possibly less, but they are still relying upon that as evidence that they have grassroots support. But as you're going forward and you got the money that Bloomberg has, the eighth richest man in the world, how he's going to put his money into play against the existing Democrats still in the running. Andrew Yang, entrepreneur, a lot of money. He's decided I can't hack it. Tom Steyer, I forgot to mention Steyer a moment ago, still in the running, although ironically, Steyer has said, I really don't want to be president. I'm just trying to shake things up. Well, I don't know why you'd run, but that's been his attitude. So if you're going to look at money buying elections, Bernie Sanders has already said Bloomberg has bought his way onto the debate stage because DNC changed his rules. Former Vice President Biden is calling him out for the same thing. Elizabeth Warren is doing the same thing, saying that all Bloomberg has is his money. But campaigns are won or lost if you have the money to put troops in the field. And Bloomberg has been already populating the targets. He's looking at March 3rd, Super Tuesday. He's already got folks on the ground in those states. In Alabama, American Samoa, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, as well as Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia. All of them will be casting their choice for the Democrat presidential nominee on March 3rd. This is where we're going to really see the impact of Michael Bloomberg. And we're going to see the demise of some of the other Democrat candidates. Many believe that Elizabeth Warren is already gasping her last few breaths, partly to explain why she stood up on the stage the other day in an address and said, look, we've got to quit fighting so hard against each other. We don't want to be doing damage to our party just to be the last person standing. Or as she actually said, the last man standing. Of course, she wants to be the last woman standing. Probably not going to happen. And then you look at the way the Democrats have been doing their primaries. The Iowa caucus was such a mess this time around. They're calling for the head of the DNC, and he does not want to give up his position. He's trying to spread it out, saying it wasn't us. And if you keep in mind, they actually hired a group that was going to put everything together for them that involved three former operatives and connections to Hillary Clinton, which basically in 2016, Hillary, along with the DNC, stole the election from Bernie Sanders. And so he's got to be aware of what's happening behind the scenes again. And if it's not Hillary and the DNC and Democrats working against him, here's this Bloomberg guy. In the midst of all this, Donald Trump's numbers continue to go up. And in fact, during the impeachment process, while it was underway, and since then, they have raised $60 million. If you know a Democrat, if you see someone with a Bernie sticker on their car or Elizabeth Warren, you might go over and say, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. What do you mean? Well, because you guys are helping get Trump elected by your impeachment and all that other nonsense. So let me buy you some coffee. Maybe not, because some of them might be a little uptight about that. We'll take a break. Sorry we couldn't get Dr. Lomero again. Still don't know our technical issues. We'll come back and talk about the change in the Air Force dress code.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. For trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
This This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
While we were in the midst of that last segment, this news coming out, CNN stating the Department of Justice is dropping its criminal investigation involving former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, dropping it without bringing any charges. Letters apparently sent to McCabe's attorneys saying, after careful consideration, the government will not pursue criminal charges against your client. And, of course, that had been made by the Inspector General's office to investigate his behavior. McCabe, who's a CNN contributor, had been perceived by President Donald Trump and many of us as one of his foes for his work on the early Russian investigation for the FBI. And now we have the Department of Justice deciding it's not going to go after McCabe. We're going to have to get into that in more detail. We'll see more develop as we go forward. All right, so what I told you, the Air Force is updating its official dress policy as of this month. In observance of religious practices, it is going to allow military personnel to wear turbans or hijabs as part of the uniform. Airmen of that faith wanted a waiver to wear religious apparel while in uniform as long as they're neat and conservative. The material used for headwear must resemble the color of the assigned uniform. That would include camouflage, if necessary, must be worn in a fashion that presents a professional and well-groomed appearance. I understand all that, but, I mean, you're looking at, in fact, one of them, Airman First Class, had been granted an historic religious accommodation to wear his turban, beard, and unshorn hair in keeping with his Sikh faith. But the, and Sikh, you know what I'm talking about. But this is now updated to include hijabs, beards, turban, and other things. I have a problem with this. I don't have a problem with them and their religion, obviously. But if we're going to have members of our armed forces dressing all different ways to accommodate their religion, how are we going to be recognized as the U.S. Air Force? Well, the patch on the sleeve and on the flag and everything. Well, that's. I think this is going the wrong way. It's going too far. But let me give you an example. If you want to stand up and say that's good, then what do you do about the sailors who wore patches as President Trump spoke to them aboard a ship in Japan this last May? There was a group of sailors who sported flight suits. They had red patches that had a kind of a likeness of President Trump on them, and it read, "Make Air Crew Great Again." The directive from the military bars service members from attending political rallies and expressing political opinions while they're in uniform. It's part of the Hatch Act. The investigation found the sailors did not intend to wear the patches as a political statement, but admitted that the American public could reasonably assume wearing of the patches was in violation. Navy never did specify what type of punishment was given, but they were told not to wear them. I think what you need to do is you go back to the basics, on be it Air Force, Navy, all of them. Nothing that would possibly represent any political affiliation, no dress or anything that would recommend or show any religious affiliation unless you were a chaplain or religious leader for that religion. And tattoos are another thing. They've been having all kinds of changes on that. Basically, depending on which branch of the service you get into, if you want several tattoos and have them, then you probably need to make sure you know going in if your particular branch service is going to allow it. The Navy has lifted regulations on tattoos and now allowing recruits to have full sleeves and hand tattoos, which previously anything not covered by uniform could not be dressed up with a tattoo. The face and the head, still off limit. But if you do it around the neck and it shows above the collar, I'm not sure what they're doing about that. The Army has basically said if you have tattoos on hands, wrists, face, neck, above the T-shirt line, head, you have to have them removed to join the Army, or you'll not be accepted. They will not accept you if you have tattoos inside your mouth, ears, or eyelids. The Navy has always been filled, along with Marines, into tattoos. But yeah, you had to draw a line somewhere. This might be worth coming back around again and taking another look at, right? So in the next hour coming up, the coronavirus is exposing our reliance on China for prescription drugs. And also the War Powers Act that they just had a debate on. And dealing with loss in love or politics, according to a snowflake. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.